Now, the first speaker tonight is our very good friend, George Anderson of the Stuyvesant Group. George Anderson.
Toastmaster, honored guests, gentlemen of the clergy, friends of AA, and friends. And I say that with the full meaning of the word. For it's only here within the framework of this great fellowship that the manifestation of friendship is exemplified not by mere words, but by deeds through action. And in my opinion, action is one of the keys to this program. And anything I may say, as the Toastmaster stated, is my own opinion. And that's another thing wonderful about this great organization. I may stress my opinion, and you won't find a fellow with a book, The Rabbit Rules of Order, crying a point on the speaker. We here practice tolerance, another key to this great program. And honesty is another key. And being honest with myself, I admit and accept that I am definitely an alcoholic. And that's something I don't wish to forget. As long as I keep that in front of me, I will stay away from that first drink. I said I was an alcoholic, but I'd like to preface that. I am an informed one. Informed through you good people who came out to what I consider my university, King's Park, bringing the message to me. Men like my sponsor, Bill Alton, Joe Callahan, and many other teams that came out there taught me the simple philosophy of life. I know that I am an alcoholic, that I'll be one as long as I live. I know that I have a disease, an incurable one. I know that I can arrest it by following this simple program, working it on a 24-hour basis, and trying to work the 12 suggested steps to the best of my ability. Alcoholic Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems. And that's one of my purposes for being here tonight. First, to help celebrate the 16th anniversary of the 18th anniversary of one who saw fit to be obedient and obey the mandate handed down to him by the higher power to carry this message to other alcoholics, until through you good people, I too was helped. Bill, I am humbly grateful to you that you did be obedient. I know today that I am here through your obedience and through the many people that the message passed through to me. I hope that when you write your new book, in the writing of your new book, that the hands of a greater power will be on your pen hand and guide your every thought. To the newcomers who has only been here in the first or second meeting, I may say please keep an open mind as I try to carry the message to you. My name is George Anderson. I've been an alcoholic, not knowing, for about 36 years out of 52 years of life. I was born in Ninth Ward of Brooklyn, predominantly Irish, with smattering of Italians and very few of ebony hue. And, of course, I was the butt of all jokes at that time. I say that because I came up the rough way. I hated man and didn't want any part of God. I went through World War I and World War II, drinking my way through. I'd like to remember only this last binge, please God. That after many years of suffering, of being taken back by my wife, this time when I went home, I wasn't accepted. I proceeded to do something in 1950 to take something I couldn't give. That was life. I got myself an automatic with an arm holster and paraded the streets nightly, seeking her, take her away from me, knowing that I could strike her 200 yards. I was an alcoholic. My life had become unmanageable then. However, I like to think of myself, of a man that I read about. I'm not well read. A man who was also stopped in his tracks. And he laid in a swoon for a number of days. And when he came to, he became a man of letters, St. Paul. I too was stopped in my tracks. But instead of being that man with intent to kill, I was a man afraid of everything. Some people say I went into DT, but I like to think about it as the higher power who guided me. Because instead, I went to Bellevue. I had the humble pleasure last year of going to Sing Sing to speak with two of my good friends, Chris Cannon and another friend. And as they were on each side of me, I thought that I was just a year late getting there, because the first Sunday in February, a year prior, I was entering Bellevue. I stayed in Bellevue for a few days and then went to King's Park, which I consider my university. For the simple reason, I only have a sixth grade education. But there on the 16th of February, I was exposed to the first AA meeting. And there I began my schooling in the simple philosophy of life. I learned that I could arrest this case of alcoholism. I learned that I could lead a different life. I learned to love and understand my fellow man, because I learned about myself. I followed those teachings, and when I came out, I ran as told to my first AA meeting. Having lost all my friends, I met new friends at my first AA meeting. My good friends and advisor, power of example, Chris Cannon, and a great many others helped me. I followed because I realized that the power of example laid in them. They showed me the way. I felt that I needed them, and I carried on. I had to go before a psychiatrist, one of the leading doctors on the back of our AA Bible. And he told me that he would declare me mentally competent, I could go back to work. And I told him that as of today, I would have to resign. And I guess the man thought I was crazy. And he asked me why. I told him that, you see, I'm getting a therapy now. Had I come to you 6 months prior, there's nothing you could have did for me. But now I'm in AA, and these meetings are important for me. The only seniority I have would call me to work from 3 to 11. Therefore, I wouldn't have to miss my meetings. So I'd have to resign as of that day, and I did. But when I got back to the rectory, the good fathers laughed and told me that I had a job there, that I would be the chef cook. And in speaking of cooking, this program reminds me of a continuous everlasting banquet. As you walk into the door of any AA meeting, you are handed a menu. That menu is the 12 suggested steps. I wasn't so hungry in the beginning, but I ate a little bit of the hors d'oeuvre, admitting that I was an alcoholic, and finally I accumulated a little more appetite, and I devoured it all, admitting and accepting that my life had become unmanageable, but mainly wanting to learn to do something about it. I like to think of the second course on this menu as the soup of the program. I tasted a little bit of that in the beginning. And then looking back over my past life, I realized that many things I had done was insane. So I could ask the higher power to restore me to sanity. But the third course on the menu, to me, is the main dish of this great banquet. The meat of the program, turning my life and will over to the care of God as I understood Him. And I understood Him to be kind, loving, understanding and forgiving. So I ate a lot of this dish, and I began to grow spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. And there is a success in AA, and that success is a happy sobriety, and is built on the spirituality of this program, For I have read seemingly only those who try to practice the spirituality of this program, seemingly they are the ones who have the least trouble. And I do know, as the power of my examples, many men, such as Clint Frazier and Chris Cannon, Dan McMonigle, and quite a few others that I've watched, they seem to be getting along, and I've wanted that. So I eat a little more of this God-given food. And then the fourth course on this menu, I like to think of it as an avocado salad, something that I have to keep my head in my own plate, not taking the other fellow's inventory, but taking my own, not criticizing in the event that he has a slip, but trying to help him if he wants it, and if not, saying but for the grace of God, it could be me. And on the other hand, I can't afford to be envious of a fellow that I see grow. The only thing I can do is to eat a little more of this God-given food and grow too. And as I went down the line of the various dishes, my character defects, trying to make amends, I had all I could do. So I just reached over and got a glass of this cooling water, this mineral water that's called Live and Let Live. Mind your own business. I did that. And as I got down to the 11th course on this great menu, I like to think of it as a demitasse. Because when I got to this, I began to see the good in other fellows, not the bad. And it's a reason for that. This menu was prepared by a great chef, one whom I don't choose to call, but I call God. And he, unlike me, doesn't hide his recipe. He tells us each and every one what of the ingredients he has placed within, such as love, kindness, humility, honesty, and understanding. And when I eat a little bit of each and every one of these dishes, I begin to grow in AA. I begin to love my God with all my heart and my neighbors as myself. Yes, Bill, it's my opinion you are a symbol to me. A symbol of that ray of light, that little hope that I had when I opened the book for the first time and read the first story of the first man in AA. And in going up to your home, as I was told by several other AA members, a place of serenity. With Mar Foley and Chris Cannon, Mary and several others, I too called it the House of Serenity. To me, I say again, in my own opinion, you are a symbol. We are sent as a gift from God to alcoholics like me. Thank you.